It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Phil, how are you?
Morena, I am great, thanks, Rachel. The sun is shining on our city after
finally
a rough night last night. Yeah, we had a bit of damage down at Shed 10 and on the waterfront, the wharves and the seaplane apparently was severely damaged, and one of the ferries broke from its moorings.
Far out.
We're having this, I mean, we had it on Sunday night as well. It's kind of bizarre that we have these severe weather events, not causing massive damage, but causing some significant damage. Mm. And the night before that, of course, in St Heliers, where a couple of houses lost their roofs. So,
yeah,
it's a worry.
A bit dramatic.
Yeah, I got a message at just after midnight last night to say what was happening, but we're probably going to go down and have a look this morning and see how bad it is. The cloud has lost some of its covering. That's a temporary structure. You know how temporary structures are in New Zealand.
Yeah.
That was a temporary structure put in place 8 years ago. but apparently that's repairable, and it's not quite as bad as it was first expected. So, yeah, just hope that we have a better night tonight.
Fantastic. Well, so do we. At least there's a break in the weather to sort it out a bit. Hey, we've got lots to talk about this morning. Let's start with talking about trees. You've promised to plant 1.5 million more native trees in the next 3 years. Where do you envisage these will be going?
They'll be going in Auckland reserves. They'll be going around streams and land prone to erosion. They'll be going in local parks. For example, down at what used to be called the Oakley Creek in Wesley, we planted 50,000 trees in the middle of Mount Roskill down there, which is fantastic. You know, used to be a few spindly weeping willow trees. We had a concrete-lined dam, and that's now. I just invite everybody to go down and look at it. You can stand on Sandringham Road Extension, look across. One side's got a concrete drain and some exotic trees. The other side is the stream returned to its natural course, and with thousands and thousands of native trees, playground areas, walkways, cycleways. So, you know, greening up the city, making it look better. And, you know, I achieved the million trees in, you know, with 7 months left to go. We've actually probably hit about 1.1, 1.2. I'm promising at least 1.5. And, you know, I work on the basis under promise and over deliver. I reckon we'll deliver more than that, but it will make Auckland greener, more carbon sinks, more erosion control, more native habitats for birds.
It's totally fantastic, but we have got a lot of listeners who live out west, and they're obviously quite concerned about Kauri dieback, the state of the trees that already exist in Auckland.
Yeah.
So the Tree Council Chairman Sean Freeman has said that we need a structure and a means to look at the trees we already have, plus any new ones that we'd be planting as well. So how does your council plan to ensure that current and future trees survive?
Well, the first thing we did, under the old 10-year plan, we had $3 million put aside for Kauri dieback. And we know in the Waitakere that increased massively between the periods of time we checked it. So we've increased that $3 million to $100 million. Now, that's putting your money where your mouth is. $100 million to stop Kauri dieback, and working with government too, because we've got to try to find an antidote to it if we can. They've only got a partial antidote at the moment, but new tracks, restrictions where we have to put restrictions in, new walking tracks where it's safe to walk, a huge amount of things that we're doing there. And the second thing is, when Nick Smith changed the Resource Management Act back about 2013, I think it was, he stripped away all the protection for existing trees. And, you know, to be fair, some of that protection was probably overly bureaucratic and over the top, but he left far too little protection. And I've been talking to the Minister for the Environment, David Parker, about how we can properly protect significant native trees of a particular height and dimension, because we don't have that overall protection at the moment, and we need it, in my opinion.
Totally. It's a massive issue. But in other sort of environmental things that are happening in Auckland at the moment, Newsroom, there was a report yesterday by Farah Hancock who said that advocates for New Zealand's rarest bird are taking Auckland Council to the Environment Court over an illegally built dam on public land. So the concern is that the dam, which was built by Tara Iwi Golf Course, is blocking access of fish to an endangered species of bird called the fairy tern. There's only estimated 36 of those left.
Yep.
And this dam is built on public land. It's a public park. So how has a private developer managed to build there?
Yeah, well, it's the dam. I've not been to it, but I've seen pictures of it. It's a weir that allows trucks or not trucks, four-wheel drive to pass. We in 2017, at the end of 2017, issued a certificate of compliance on the basis that the Ford was returned to its pre-2013 state, along with erosion control and planting, and on that basis the activity was permitted. I am informed by council that the applicant undertook the work in 2018 to do just that, and these works included provision of fish passage. The New Zealand Ferry Turn Charitable Trust doesn't believe so, and they've taken it to the Environment Court. I guess, you know, look, it seems a funny thing to have to fight out in the court. Either it does or it doesn't. Our people said that they've monitored it, they've checked it, and it's okay. They certainly acknowledge that the ferry tern is a threatened species, and we're part of working with the Department of Conservation on a ramped up species recovery working group. But it's not simply about this Ford. It's about pest control. It's wiping out the rats and the stoats that predate on the ferry tern. It's about improving the nesting habitat so that we manage visitors so they don't disturb the birds, because the birds just nest on the beach and that makes them vulnerable. So there are a lot of things happening there. I don't know why this disagreement can't have been sorted out directly between DOC, the council ranger staff, and this particular trust, but it hasn't been. So they've taken it to the court, and I guess the Environment Court will look at it and make a judgment on it.
What kind of consent processes are in place to make sure that private developers can't generally cause harm to the environment through their actions? How do you sort of get consent,
yeah, well,
I guess, to build?
Public land, the council, well, in this case, I think actually the stream bed belongs to the Department of Conservation, is what I'm informed.
Right.
But it really doesn't matter, Department of Conservation, council. Both of them have got to take responsibility, but they assure me that it has been returned to its pre-2017 state, that their fish can move up the stream. These are fish that the birds partly feed on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just seems to me something that should have been bloody sorted out between the three groups face-to-face on site. I went up to TRI about 6 months ago. It's about two hours drive. That's how big our city is now. But it should be sorted out. And of course, we've got to give priority to protecting the ferry turn. And I'm assured that they are doing that. Wiping out the rats and the stoats is absolutely critical, and providing the nesting for the birds equally critical. And I think DOC and the council staff are onto both of those things.
Fantastic. Well, let's move on to talking about land rezoning. So the council's planning committee has decided to rezone 233 hectares of land into public open space in the city. This is also including 8.9 hectares which borders the site at Ihumātau. So what prompted this decision?
Well, for a start, our population is expanding, so we need more and better recreational areas available for Aucklanders. So we've taken this land, most of which is in the public domain, and we've rezoned it to make sure it will be protected as local parks, predominantly some bigger parks as well. And that's a great thing. I think we disposed of less than 1 hectare of public open space, and we've added 233 hectares to it. And I'm vigorously pushing that. Amongst the land, actually not in that 233 hectares, but what we also looked at in a separate paper was to rezone 8.9 hectares of land adjacent to the site at Ihumātau, where which the protest is about. It's farmland with a historic homestead on it, the Rennie homestead, and we've taken the zoning. We're proposing that the zoning goes from future urban development to public open space. So what does that mean? With this nearly 9 hectares and the 92 hectares of stone fields, Otoa Tawa, that we have there, which are the critical sites for cultural, historical and geographical significance, we've got more than 100 hectares of land preserved for public use and recreation indefinitely into the future. That is our contribution to the importance of this site. So council has made an even stronger gesture, adding this extra 9 hectares that we currently own to the 92 hectares. And now we're looking for really within Māoridom for them to come to some sort of consensus between the conflicting views that exist there between mana whenua leaders and the protesters, with the help of the King movement, to try to sort out a proper resolution of that dispute, and I hope that happens.
So is it fair to say this is a gesture from Council to sort of work towards a resolution?
It's a reflection of our commitment to recognise the importance of the land in this area. And you'll remember that way back in 2007 to 12, Council had fought to make this whole area public open space, but had been defeated by the land owner in the Environment Court. And the Environment Court ruled the area to be future urban development, and we didn't own the land, it's private loan, and the private owner objected to our zoning, and they won in the Environment Court. So when the Environment Court makes that ruling, we just live with it. We don't have any option.
All right, well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Phil. We really appreciate it, especially on a busy morning with storm things to be sorted out. We'll speak to you again next week.
Okay, thanks, Rachel. Always enjoy the opportunity. Cheers.
Thanks.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.